My dearly beloved in Christ, today is the octave day of Easter, and therefore a very important Sunday, a high-ranking Sunday. Although it has the name, the nickname, I guess you could say, of Low Sunday, and the faithful call it that in comparison to Easter Sunday, which is, of course, the most important feast of the entire year. But we must not think that it is an unimportant Sunday. No Sunday would be unimportant because of the name Low Sunday. It is also called sometimes Quasimodo Sunday from the first word of the introit, and also in Latin Dominica in Albis Depositis, which means the Sunday on which the white garments were laid aside. Because the early Christians who were baptized at the Easter Vigil would wear white garments all week long during the octave of Easter. And then finally, on the Saturday, yesterday, they would have laid them aside at the end of the day. And so this would be the first Sunday in which their white garments had been laid aside. So it has a number of names. But it also has a very interesting gospel that contains a number of lessons. The first lesson we can draw from the gospel is the importance of peace of heart, peace of soul. It is interesting that when our Lord appeared to the apostles gathered together in the upper room where he had had the Last Supper with them, the first time he appeared to them, the evening of the resurrection in which they were gathered together, the first words from his mouth were, "Peace be to you." And then he showed them his hands and his side, and he said it again, "Peace be to you." So this shows us what an important thing peace of soul, peace of mind, peace of heart is. And we think of people who do not have that peace. Their life is sad. Their life is miserable because their conscience bothers them. And that brings us to the solution. How do we obtain peace of heart, which is such an inestimable benefit? And that is by obedience to the laws of God, following the dictates of our conscience. That brings peace of heart. But lacking that peace, nothing else can take its place. So peace of soul is a great blessing, a great boon, and something we must treasure and preserve and foster, that peace of heart. Holy Mother Church uses these words of our Lord, "Peace be to you," at the Mass. After the Gloria, the priest kisses the altar and turns around and says, "Dominus vobiscum," may the Lord be with you. But a bishop says, "Pax vobis," peace be with you, which is interesting. And we have in a solemn high Mass that ceremony called the Kiss of Peace. And when a priest has a baptism, the final words after the child or adult has been baptized, the priest concludes by saying, "Vade in pace, Dominus vobiscum, amen." So go in peace and may the Lord be with you. So peace of heart, peace of soul, a treasure that we must seek and hold on to, and again is obtained by doing the holy will of God. Another lesson we can gain from this gospel is the importance of the sacrament of penance. Certainly a tremendous gift of our Lord. And is it not significant, because our Lord did nothing by chance? Everything was planned to take place as it did. Why did he institute the sacrament of penance on the feast of the resurrection, on the day of the resurrection? He instituted the Holy Eucharist at the Last Supper on Holy Thursday. Why was the sacrament of penance instituted on the day of the resurrection? Because its primary purpose is for a soul that is dead in the state of mortal sin to be raised to the life of grace, and that is a true resurrection. But it is not only intended for those who have tragically lost the life of sanctifying grace through a mortal sin. We can all make use of the sacrament of penance frequently, and we should do so, because every sacrament conveys, gives, what we call the sacramental grace for that sacrament. And the sacramental grace helps one to fulfill the purpose of that sacrament. So, for example, the sacramental grace of confirmation strengthens this Christian to become a soldier of Christ. Sacramental grace of matrimony helps the married couple to fulfill their obligations to one another and to the children, if God blesses them with children, and so forth. Every sacrament has a sacramental grace. Well, the sacramental grace of penance is to help us overcome temptation, help us to conquer sin, help us to remain in the state of grace. And so it should be used often. And we should be very grateful for this wonderful sacrament. What a consolation to think that if we have fallen into sin, perhaps serious sin, that by going to confession, humbly confessing our sins and seeking God's forgiveness through the ministration of the priest, that that sin is wiped away. It is over and forgotten. And to console ourselves with the realization that the priest is strictly bound by the seal of confession and that nothing confessed there will ever be repeated. But again, it is a source of consolation and of strength. So we should not fear the sacrament of penance, but make a devout and frequent use of this wonderful sacrament that our Lord has given us. Now we also have in today's gospel the story of Thomas, one of the 11 apostles, and I say 11, because of course Judas Iscariot had betrayed our Lord and then tragically ended his life. And so now when our Lord rose from the dead, there were 11 apostles. But Thomas was not there the evening of the resurrection when our Lord appeared for the first time to his apostles gathered together. And when he came back from his errands later that evening, the other apostles were telling him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said, "I won't believe it until or unless I can put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side." So there is stubbornness, a lack of accepting the testimony of his fellow apostles. But Thomas greatly made up for it. 1 week later, in effect on Low Sunday, the Sunday after the resurrection, when our Lord appeared again, and this time all of them were there, including Thomas. And our Lord admonished him. He said, "Come and put your finger into the place of the nails and put your hand into my side and be not faithless, but believe." And Thomas knelt down and said those beautiful words, "My Lord and my God." And those words are an indulgenced ejaculation that we are encouraged to say to ourselves at the elevation in the Mass, at the consecration when the priest, after saying the words of Christ, changing the bread and wine into the body and blood of our Lord, the priest raises up the host and then raises up the chalice. And we look up as the bell rings and say to ourselves, "My Lord and my God," make an act of faith in our Lord who is there now sacramentally present in the Holy Eucharist. So Thomas made up for it, but our Lord said to Thomas, he said, "You believe now because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And this brings out the importance of faith. What a gift God has given to us with the gift of faith. And we must treasure it. We must be grateful for the gift of faith and not take it for granted, because the gift of faith could be lost. And it is lost by those who fail to live it. Although I think that the faith is never completely lost, even by lapsed Catholics who cease to practice their faith. They know deep down inside that the Catholic religion is the true religion. They have not entirely lost faith, but for the most part, they have neglected it. And so we must treasure this gift and live it and pray for an increase in faith, because we need a strong faith, especially in this age in which we live. Now, the acts of faith, hope, and charity, the Church encourages us to pray every day, as well as, of course, the act of contrition. An act of faith basically is saying, Dear God, I believe in you and in everything that you have revealed and your church teaches. Even though I can't understand it, I accept it. I assent. Mentally, I assent. I believe it. What a wonderful thing faith is. And remember those final words of our Lord to Thomas. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. And that is us. Let us be grateful for the gift of faith. Let us live it. And let us pray daily for a stronger, more solid faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.